Scott Woltman wears many hats. He's a CCA cover crop chair for the American Seed Trade Association, and he's the cover crop lead for La Crosse Seed, located in La Crosse, Wisconsin. It's fair to say he keeps pretty busy. La Crosse Seed targets niche markets from alfalfa forage to grasses, pollinator programs to food plots. Scott talks about how he's giving direction to growers with acres enrolled in CRP, where the cover crop industry is headed, and La Crosse Seed's role as being a trusted source for growers and retailers. I'm Ashley Davenport, and this is the Ag Pro Podcast. Hello, everyone. I'm Ashley Davenport. And just a reminder, if you have a topic you'd like me to cover regarding ag retail, you can contact me on Twitter. My handle is at AshD926, or you can send me an email, adavenport@farmjournal.com. Now let's get into our conversation with Scott Woltman. He is a certified crop advisor. Scott, you have so many titles. You're the cover crop lead for La Crosse Seed in Wisconsin. Forage agronomist, you are the cover crop chair for the American Seed Trade Association. How do you keep all of that straight?
Well, I appreciate the time here today, Ashley. Most of my time, quite honestly, is spent in the field with our sales team members. That's the most important thing that we can do, is make sure that that we're in front of our customers and spending time in the field, learning about what's going on. The other stuff is important as well. As everybody knows, I think there's a lot of momentum behind the sustainability message and cover crops in general. So whatever we can learn as a company, or quite frankly as an industry, I think it's good for obviously us at La Crosse Seed, but it's also good for, you know, the relevance and I think the credibility of cover crops moving forward, making sure that we have, you know, we're covering all of our bases from agronomy, like I said, all the way to how we harvest seeds and seed quality and all of that. So, I keep pretty busy, but I think it's important that we keep an eye on all of those different factors.
Absolutely. Now, Scott, let's set the stage a little bit. La Crosse Seed is located in La Crosse, Wisconsin, southwest corner of the state, and you guys offer a lot of seed, from forages to turf to food for deer. Is it fair to say that your business is kind of involved in these niche markets?
Yeah, there's no doubt. In fact, you know, we are a distributor of, we call them small seeds. And like you said, Ashley, that's anything from alfalfa forage, grasses, you know, orchard grass, tall fescue, to grasses that we use in turf. So not only, you know, homeowner turf, but sports fields, golf courses, cover crops, like you mentioned, native grasses. So anything that, native forbs, pollinator programs, Indian grass, switchgrass, those kind of things, food plots for deer. We kind of categorize all of the things that we sell as everything but, to a lot of the retailers we work with, we sell everything but corn and soybeans. And even that's not necessarily true today, because I know we are marketing a few forage soybeans for some of those markets, maybe related to wildlife and things like that. So yeah, we like to think that we cover a lot of the things that maybe a lot of people don't necessarily consider mainstream. You call it niche. I think that's something that we take a lot of pride in, making sure that our slogan is we have the seed you need when you need it. And I think that goes hand in hand with being in that kind of market, where maybe it's not thought of every day, but when it is needed, we like to be the trusted distributor that our accounts call on.
Scott, I went to a small college in northern Indiana, shout out to Goshen College, and they had some of these native plant plots, and when they bloomed, they were just beautiful, and I think they had started doing that around 2012 when I had first started there. And these native plots are something La Crosse Seed offers to your customers, and I think it's cool that not only do you offer this as an option to your growers, but you also give them direction on how to use those, and as you say, small seeds for CRP acres.
Yeah, so I think I'll tackle the last part of your question first. You know, we're in a unique spot in that we try to develop tools and resources to help our dealers communicate the message and have confidence delivering the message to their growers. So it not only involves marketing the seed and having the seed available, but it is the agronomic insight and all of those other tools you need to make sure people know what they're doing, right? So it's one thing to offer the seed. It's another thing to make sure that they don't have a failure, because a failure with a, let's just say, a pollinator program or a native grass seeding or a cover crop seeding, especially, a lot of times if somebody doesn't have a good feeling about what they're doing, they don't have confidence in what they're doing, or it fails, that will limit the likelihood that they're going to try that again. And that's not necessarily what we want. So, yeah, it isn't just about having the seed. It's about making sure that we're giving everybody as much confidence as we can, as much know-how as we can, to make sure they do it right. Let's just talk about CRP. CRP acres over the last, couple decades have maybe been decreasing, right? But in the new farm bill, now we have a little bit of an opportunity with that acre limit going up. So there is a lot of talk, a lot of different folks in the industry putting out information on how to do things, what to consider. Seed quality, Ashley, it continues to be a big part of that too, making sure whether you're a grower or whether you're a retailer, making sure that you're buying seed from a trusted source, because the last thing we want, and I'm sure you've talked about this in other articles about Palmer amaranth and different weed species, that, the last thing we want is we want someone to put in, whether it's a cover crop or a conservation planting, or even just a alfalfa seeding, try to do everything right. They're following the rules and the guidelines, and they think they're doing everything correctly, and then they end up with a weed problem. So, again, it's not just about the seed. It's not necessarily just about the information either. It's making sure that we're giving people, the retailer and the grower, the best chance for success, and that's making sure that they know that where we're procuring our seed is from a trusted source. So all of that, I think, is important. All of that goes into the buying decision. And there's so many different factors today. It's not like it maybe was 20, 30, 40 years ago. There's guidelines in place. There's a lot more people getting into our industry, probably because of cover crops. And that opens the door to maybe a few people. And again, a lot of the majority of folks are doing things the right way, for sure. But anytime you have a abundance of new folks into the marketplace, potentially there's a greater likelihood that something might fall through the cracks, and maybe some poor seed or some poor information is offered. So again, we try to not fall into that. And I think that there's just a lot of work that goes behind that. But again, if we're going to work with ag retailers, we got to make sure that we're crossing our T's and dotting our I's, because the retail segment, the ag retail segment, if we don't do something right, they're going to let us know about it. And I like that. They're going to make sure that we're doing everything correct, not only from a quality standpoint, but from an agronomic one as well.
That's fantastic. So talking a little bit about ag retail, what does that distribution look like?
Yeah, so we partner primarily with ag retailers, but also seed suppliers. So it's our job to give all of these dealers the tools, like I said, and confidence they need to market our products to their growers. We believe that still today the ag retailer plays such an integral part at the farm gate, whether it's a small grower or a very large one. There's always a link or a partnership between that grower and their trusted retailer. So we would contend today that the heightened importance, not only with forages and the lack thereof with all the different you know, winter kill and flooding and the all of the importance now on forage availability, but also the sustainability piece of it, including cover crops. There's no better segment to deliver this, all these different messages, than the ag retailer. And think about it. There's nobody else that better understands the inputs that go into a farmer's ground. You know, all of their acres, they have the retailer has an understanding of whether it's herbicide history, fertility, all of that, that they understand that. They know that. And I think when we're talking about all these different inputs, whether it's a forage seeding or a pollinator seeding or a waterway or a whatever, that's an input as well. And we think that makes a lot of sense. So, again, whether you're talking about, you know, anywhere from Manitoba to Mississippi or from Montana to New England, retailers play a really huge part in what we do.
And, Scott, kind of going back to the previous question that I had asked, we were talking about the successes and where do you see the cover crop industry going in the next few years?
Well, you're probably familiar with the USDA 2017 USDA survey that just came out last week on Thursday. And according to the reporting in the USDA survey, looks like we have a little over 15 million acres of cover crops currently. And that was from 17. Back in 2012, when the survey was last given, I think we were at a little bit over 10 million. So in the course of 5 years, we've grown by I don't know what the math is on that, but a lot. And I would contend that if our growth rate continues, if the curve continues at that same rate, which is somewhere probably between 8 and 10%, it's not unlikely to think that we could be well over 35-40 million acres in the next 10 years. So even today, if you think about it too, if we're at 15 or 16 million acres of cover crops today, that is almost like the fourth largest crop after corn, soybeans, and wheat. So again, like I mentioned the word credibility earlier. There's a lot of folks that are using cover crops today. There's a lot of retailers that we work with that promote the heck out of cover crops, and we really appreciate everything they're doing. But especially in the Midwest, yeah, cover crop acres are improving, no doubt. They're expanding in areas that they weren't expanding in a few years ago. But if you drive from Iowa to Ohio or anywhere in between, you're not going to see many acres of cover crops. So that tells me that there's still the acres that we have them on is still very, very slight. So there's still a huge opportunity for people in our industry and the retailers that we work with to promote cover crops. That's a segment for sure that is growing. And there's other segments too. Again, I talked about forages. There's a real lack of forage supply across a good part of the Corn Belt, whether that's in Missouri, Iowa, areas out to the eastern part of the Corn Belt as well. The winter that we had did not help at all, and the flooding that we're getting isn't helping overall supplies either. So I think the future is really bright. It's unknown, as always, but I think if we're doing the right things and we're promoting the right things and the right practices, I think it's going to be good moving forward.
Scott, you're talking about, I live in northern Indiana, and like you mentioned, there's not a whole lot of cover crops around here. What do you say to someone who might be, cover crops a weed, they don't, it doesn't matter? What do you say to that person?
Well, so if we think about what has went on in areas out east over the last 10 to 20 years, Chesapeake Bay and different areas, and not only, you know, if where you are, Ashley, with the Lake Erie and all the different challenges from not only nitrogen that we have in the Mississippi River in the hypoxia zone in the Gulf, but also, again, in Lake Erie with phosphates. I think it does matter. The word mandate comes up a lot, and farmers, again, out east and some other areas where maybe there's HEL ground or different things, maybe don't call them a mandate, but there are certain restrictions and regulatory in place to make sure farmers are doing the right thing. I can't help but think, moving forward, that if voluntary practices don't continue to increase, potentially more and more growers are going to be, instead of given an option on what to do, maybe they're going to be asked or given a mandate on, here's a few things that you have to do. So that's one angle. And again, I don't necessarily like to talk about that, but I think everybody kind of has that in the back of their mind on, again, making sure that we're preserving our resources, whether, you know, that and how we treat the land, whether that's from a fertility standpoint, water quality, all of that is really important. And I also think about, you know, the messaging behind cover crops. It's really a long-term message, or has been up until this point. And that's not wrong. I mean, improving soil health is critical to the sustainability of a farm, for sure, moving forward. But I think sometimes we overlook maybe some of the short-term gains that we can get from using a cover crop or some sort of a conservation planting. And that would apply to most growers across Indiana, where you are, where in Illinois, where I live. And there's a lot of things that cover crops can do right out of the gate that I think we in the industry haven't done a very good job of putting a number on or putting a value to, whether that's weed suppression, that's erosion, being able to stop wind and water erosion. Maybe that's forage biomass that you can, provide for livestock, compaction alleviation. And then we talk about nutrients. We talked about nutrients earlier. If we can cycle leftover nutrients and keep those from going down our rivers, there's real value there. And I think, again, whether you're a farmer that have been using cover crops for a long time, or maybe you're one that's on the fence, if we could put some dollar figures to some of these practices, I think it makes the idea of using a cover crop a little bit more favorable.
Yeah, that would really help change the picture, change the thought process of a lot of these farmers that are hesitant. Scott, is there anything retailers should know about LaCrosse seed?
Yeah, so I appreciate the question. Yeah, like I said, we're a little bit unique in the industry in that we try to primarily work with the ag retailer because of what I said earlier. We view the ag retailer in pretty high regard. We look at them as being so influential out there in the countryside. And if we can do our jobs and we can give these retailers the confidence to promote products and to promote a practice, then I think there's endless opportunity for them, for sure. And when speaking to our 100-year anniversary, you know, we're proud of the fact that our beginnings of our company trace back to 1919, and I think we've been able to last stay around so long is because our dealers that we do have know that since we've been doing it for so long, they trust that we're going to do it right going forward. We've seen a lot, for sure, and I know our valued dealers put their trust in us that we're not only going to provide them, like I said earlier, the seed they need when they need it, but also the know-how and the agronomic insight that comes with being in the field doing what we've done for 100 years. Our stuff, our resources that we offer, I think are top of the line. We're always getting better. There's always room for improvement. But our job is to make sure our dealers know they can count on us for anything from seed to resources. It is putting the confidence in them to go out and deliver the right message.
And Scott, I swear you were probably looking at my notes, but the last thing I really wanted to hit on was that you guys are celebrating 100 years of being in business. How exciting. And what have you guys got planned this year to celebrate and then the next 100 years after?
I know that there are several things plan for the year. Our marketing folks in LaCrosse are doing a lot of different things. We've already done several things with some of our existing dealers wrapped around our 100-year anniversary. I think we're launching some new things on our website, overlaying what we're doing today on how that's changed with how we used to do things several years ago. Today, you know, what we do necessarily hasn't changed. We're still that dealer out there that provides, you know, alfalfa and field seeds, turf seeds, wildlife seeds, again, everything but the main corn and soybean seed that most people think of when they think of the word seed in the middle of the Midwest or the Corn Belt. You think of corn and soybeans, but that's not us. We kind of do everything else. So,
Scott, before we wrap this up, La Crosse has one big claim to fame, that some of your seed is used for the Budweiser Clydesdale pastures, right?
Well, yeah. So we're working on that. So myself and our rep in Missouri, so I'll let me just back up. So we have, with all the different connections that our sales reps have, and also with some of the folks in our management, we have a lot of seed in a lot of different cool areas, from sports fields that a lot of people in the Midwest know, whether that's professional fields to college fields. Our seed that has went through our warehouse has been in a lot of different places, so we take a lot of pride in that. But a lot of that is probably turf oriented. There are some things that we're working on currently. It's not necessarily a done deal yet, but yeah, we are working with Anheuser-Busch to potentially help them augment their pastures in Missouri, the pastures that are home to the Clydesdales, or at least a large percentage of them. It's important that these Clydesdales have a consistent feed throughout the year. I know their teams that travel all across the country and probably the world, they have their own feed supply when they're out on the road. But when they come back home, a large part of their diet it consists of the pastures that they graze on. And if there's a way that we can improve them, we are working with Anheuser-Busch to make sure we do that. So it's a work in progress, but I think it's exciting. We get to meet a lot of great, cool people, not only our retailers, but other people in the industry as well. So that's exciting. We'll see what happens as we go forward.
And I can't wait to follow and see what's going to happen. Scott, where would somebody go to get in contact with La Crosse Seed or get in contact with you?
Yeah, so you can go on our website at www.lacrosseseed.com. When you go to the website, there's you're going to get to the get on the homepage where there's everything from, you know, forages and turf and cover crops and food plots and native seeds and all of those different headings across the top. Also across the top, I believe it's a link for contacts or find out who your rep is. If you go to if you click on that, you'll be able to find a map. I think it's under contact. If you click on contact, you'll be able to find a map of who all of our reps are, as well as myself. I'm on there. My email address, my cell number. Anybody has any questions or comments at all, by all means, feel free to get a hold of me or any of our reps.
Fantastic. Well, I've been talking with Scott Waltman. He is a certified crop advisor, cover crop lead, forage agronomist for La Crosse Seed, based out of La Crosse, Wisconsin. Scott, thank you so much for taking the time and talking with me today.
Thank you, Ashley. I really appreciate the opportunity.
I'm Ashley Davenport, your host for the Ag Pro Podcast. And if you have any suggestions for a podcast related to ag retail, please send me a tweet at AshD926. You can send me an email at adavenport@farmjournal.com. New episodes will drop on Wednesday on the AgriTalk app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. So until next time, stay safe out there.